Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Clarissa Kosis, an artist and also the author-editor of a book about her art, Clarissa Dreams. You paint in both egg tempera and acrylic, Clarissa. What makes egg tempera your favorite medium?
Actually, it's not my favorite medium.
Oh, it's not? It's
a medium I use, and I have given lectures on it because it predates oil.
Mm-hmm.
But it no longer is done because it is so very, very difficult to do. But it is also incredibly unique. And if you've ever gone into museums and you see a lot of the icons, the true word for icons, the religious icons,
sure,
they're all done in egg tempera, and mm-hmm. they're done on board.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that a fellow artist suggested. He was trying it out. Interestingly enough, I'm the only one of the two still doing egg tempera. He long took off and said this was far too hard for him, and I now am just finishing off my last two. Thank goodness.
Your last two? How do you
After I've done about 18 of them. So but it's been a 10-year process.
Yes. I think the only Canadian artist I know who also used egg tempera was Alex Colville.
That's right.
Yes.
And I'm sure he would be swearing just as much as I normally swear about how tedious, because it is incredibly tedious, and it's all linears, so everything has to be done in what they call crosshatch. It's very tedious. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
When it has an effect.
Apparently, the special effect is that it glistens because of the fact that there's anywhere from 50 to 100 layers of paint, and
mm-hmm.
they're all transparent. So, of course, you're getting all these colors coming up to the surface. So it's quite unique, but acrylic is so easy by comparison.
So are there some subjects that demanded you paint them in a particular medium? I mean, this 10-year project, what was it? What held those pictures together?
At the time, none of us really knew what it entailed. Normally, if you go into a museum, they're like 8 by 10 inches.
Yes, yes.
They're little teeny tiny things because they knew better. Well, I'm doing mine in 2 feet by 3, which is like ludicrous. So, of course, they're taking me 5 to 10 years to do. And anyway, we had photographed a wonderful young model, and I have done a whole series on her,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Beth. So she's become famous, as I will eventually become.
So you've been painting for many years. What advice do you have for young artists setting out on their careers? Don't do egg tempera.
Don't do egg tempera, because actually my husband has written a short bunch of paragraphs called Marco's Lament, because as a husband for somebody like me who did nothing but curse for years and years because I could never get these bloody paintings finished, that's why we called it Marco's Lament. But actually, I would recommend, just like every other person who has achieved a certain amount of knowledge in their field, it's a lot of work.
And what are your own plans for the future?
If anything about the book, I was disappointed with the plates, with the colors of the plates. And I hadn't realized, we did it on a shoestring.
Mm-hmm.
To get really beautiful plates made, you have to go through a completely different route than we chose. So a lot of my paintings I just found were not as good as the real McCoy. So if I ever did it again, I would just have a book of my painting and maybe the odd poem, but certainly nothing like what this book is.
Right.
That way it would give a much better, true reflection of the painting as opposed to just how garish some of the colors are that are in this book.
I see. So that was a disappointment.
Yes, that part of it.
But what about your plans?
And what do I paint in acrylics? Anything that people want commissioned. You know, I do a lot of portraits, and I also do a lot of flowers because they sell well. I've done a whole bunch of pugs. In fact, there was one lady that loved her, the trio of pugs that I painted, that she had a U.S. stamp made of her three pugs. And no, they're viable. They're a real stamp.
Now they're sent all over the world.
That's right. Absolutely. And she sent it to me, and I put it in a little tiny...
frame.
Tiny little frame. It's very cute. Anyway.
Oh, that sounds really fun. Okay, so could you read us some more from your book?
I'm going to read Dree on Wednesday. This is by my daughter, Shabbat Legion. She wrote this actually when she was quite young, and then a few years back, she brought it up a little bit, but not all that much. Certainly the gist of it is still there, and it was written when she was 15, so it's a number of years ago. A girlish voice accompanied by frosty wisps of white breath. Jack! Puff. Wake up! Puff, puff, and Jack woke up sniffing as a hound might at the smell of toast. Jack! Impatiently now. I'm coming, called his 12-year-old self. I'm coming, whispered Jack at 23, years later. The voice still echoed. Hurry, there's dragons! He would hurry, stumbling down the stairs, tripping into boots and trembling into a sweater. It was always like this on Wednesday, and always would be. Wednesday was when his cousin came to spend the day, and it didn't matter that Jack had received a D- on his math test. Math did not exist on Wednesday. Outside, smells of autumn and spring mixed together with butterscotch and scotch tape, and then frozen into popsicles, and there she was, just grinning and looking like a promise of Christmas Day. Jack had grinned back and knew in his 12-year-old heart that he would love her forever, and forever was in a cave where Jack had kissed Dree for the very first time, and it was in the cave that the two of them, as they would say to any that would ask, or even if they didn't, third cousins, swore with blood shared and smeared that they would be together forever. Jack put on his shoes and stumbled down the stairs, 23. And he could still hear her voice. Hurry! And he does. It was at the cave that Jack had given Dree a valentine with the words, be mine forever. It was in the cave that Dree had promised that she would be. And years into that forever, Jack stared, alone, for she had died and left him with only her voice to follow. And so he did. He followed the voice back to the cave where he had first touched her hair, the color of a blood-streaked mink, and he did not go alone, for death followed, nodding, and there she was, grinning, smiling like the promise of Christmas Day. Dree, he whispered. Forever, Dree whispered back. Forever starts today.
Thank you.
It's very haunting, and she actually was on the short list for Bram Stoker Award.
And she it's very helped haunting. You produce this book, did she not?
She, yes.
Yes.
There are two Clarissa dreams. There's Clarissa dreams, and then there's Clarissa's dream. Mm-hmm. And these are the two poems written by two different people that gives an idea of why I called it Clarissa Dreams.
Okay.
So Clarissa Dreams, by Michael Hansen. Clarissa dreams in soft pigments applied with gentle alchemy, brushstrokes alluring adornments at birth spectral polygamy. She starts with an illusory shell, a canvas, deceptively pale, a breathing embryonic spell, distilling beauty's charming ale. Her work fuses humanity, the yoke of sexuality, with all the joys of vanity that grants souls immortality. Most luminous sorceress, your skill begets ascetic bliss. Now that is Clarissa Dreams.
And then that's Diane, by, could you repeat?
And that was by Michael H. Hansen.
Okay.
And he's featured in my book because he wrote a poem for all 32 paintings.
Oh my.
That's how much he wanted to be in my book, I guess. Anyway, it finishes off with a haiku poet, Diane Teixeira. And she now calls it Clarissa's dream.
Okay.
Possessive with mm-hmm. Clarissa, okay? With her brush, she teases words from our pens, words that delve into each stroke. Colors create moods of joy, sadness, anticipation, heroism, beauty, and deceit. Creation does not end with stroke of pen or brush. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you. That's an interesting comment on your book.
Yes, because it was lovely that both poets wanted to play on the word Clarissa Dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So many thanks. We've been talking with artist and author Clarissa Kosis. Where can our listeners buy your book, Clarissa?
Actually, from me and yes. Amazon.com.
Okay.
So it's still, if they bought it from me, it'd be cheaper because our money is so bad right now. So
yes, it's a problem, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
So, and have you issued it as an e-book as well?
Yes, it was. Recently it's been an e-book.
Okay.
So it's considerably cheaper.
Yes.
Actually, my paintings look nicer.
If you download it on...
Then the book, remember I was telling you that some of the plates were a bit garish.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, good that you got an e-book out of it as well. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us and make comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. And if you've missed a program or would like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at that website too. You can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 p.m., repeated Thursdays at 1 a.m. on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio.